The Saturday Supplement on Radio Kerry with Joe McGill.
Good morning, good morning. How are you this morning? I'm Joe McGill and you're listening to the Saturday Supplement. And I hope I find you well wherever you are listening to us around the world on RadioKerry.ie or on the traditional wireless 96 to 98 FM. It's great this week, you know, the way the evenings are getting longer and longer and longer. The summer is almost here. And hopefully we get some good weather for the summer. And I hope you're enjoying your Easter weekend. If you're around visiting us, you're very welcome. And tomorrow, remember, don't be eating too many eggs, please. Because, you know, some of you might have been fasting over Lent and you might get a bit of a shock if you eat too much. So just be mindful of that. But enjoy Easter. It's a great time for family. Spring lamb, that's a big thing, isn't it? For the Sunday dinner tomorrow. Maybe it is, maybe it isn't, but I think it is. It's kind of a big Easter Sunday kind of a dinner. I'm putting mad pressure on people that bought something else for the dinner tomorrow. But each to their own. Now, we have a very busy programme for you. I'll be talking about the Carsevine Mountain Roots Music Weekend, which is taking place on the May weekend. And I'll be talking to organisers Richie McCarthy and Celine Kavanagh McCarthy as well. A fantastic collection of musicians, and it really is an immersive weekend for everyone to enjoy in some unique venues in Carsevine. So I'll be getting the lowdown on that, and I'll also be talking to them about their roots in music and how they got into music themselves, because they're well known musicians as well. We're doing quite a few documentaries we've done recently, and one we're going to be playing later on in the programme is our Kerry Women in Sport Volume 2, and this is the second series of that. And we'll be talking to, in this episode, Selena Looney, Killarney Legion woman, of course, and the first female chairperson of Kerry Ladies Football Association, and not only that, but the youngest association chair in the country. And she has been involved in various different roles in the GA, which is very interesting, and she gives a really good insight into women in sport as well, so that's not to be missed. That'll be coming up around after 10 o'clock. And speaking of documentaries, another one we're doing, I talked about the Lighthouse one last week, but my wife, Maureen Neva Hunam, Megs Manny, is doing a documentary on family food businesses. And I was talking to Rory McCarthy, proprietor of Camo's Restaurant, and also owner of Camo's Artisan Foods, and he's going to feature on an episode as well. His mother, Mary, would have ran the Red Rose Cafe across the way from the Dan O'Connell Memorial Church. A lot of you would know it. Really successful restaurant, but the origins of it are amazing as well, in that how it became a restaurant, and it involved Rory's grandmother and Rory's mother, and so many more relations as well, helping out after the Ivra Ballroom. And if you'll remember that, I think many in this county will know the Ivra Ballroom, where many a romance was formed, or marriage was formed for in that instance. And I was talking to my father during the week as well, and he was telling me about all the crowds that had formed after the Ivra Ballroom, and they'd all hang around Camo's, and that's where you might get your sandwich or crew beans, I think it was at the start, but they were considered a dangerous weapon after a while, that they were being thrown around the place. But it's fascinating to hear all that. We did a documentary a good few years ago as well about the dance hall days as well, and do you know what, we didn't go into in massive detail about where people would eat after, you know, the way there's the chippers nowadays after the pubs and things like that, but very interesting to hear about that. And there was like soup and sandwiches, and there'd be a bit of a sing song, and the crowds, though, that's what amazes me. In a lot of these areas there was huge crowds, you know, you had the Creamery dance, the East Speed dance, these were big dances. But we'll be bringing you that as well in the not too distant future. We also have our Kerry County Council Creative Kingdom, letting you know what's going on in the arts world around the county. And we've a lovely spring piece, we'll call it, a bit of reflection from Mary Lavery as well, and it's a real lovely little piece, and that'll be coming up before 10 o'clock. But first, like I mentioned, I went along to Carsevine and I met with Richie McCarthy and Celine Kavanagh, or Saline Kavanagh McCarthy of the Carsamine Mountain Roots Music Weekend. And I went along and I found out all about this wonderful event.
Richie, tell us, how did this event come about? When did it come about and how did it come about?
Well, Joe, I suppose we used to organise 2 years in Crosshaven before we moved back here to Carsavine, a folk festival. And we had two very successful folk festivals. And before that, my young years, I used to organise day events in pubs with a load of bands for the just and raise money for some thing, you know. And I suppose it was a good excuse to get together and then have a bit of crack. Then when we moved back here in 2010, the year after we set up the Talent of Eva competition, and that ran for 2 or 3 years, I think, and then it kind of progressed on to a roots festival, because we were involved with local musicians and sessions who would be kind of a roots base, and that's where the idea comes. It's, we're not non-profit. It's not about money. It takes money running, but it's not about making money. It's about music for music's sake. And as we see, the term roots is not straight Americana music. It's about kind of people music from all areas of life and countries and all that, you know. So it's about preserving the live music and live performance and live creation. So that's our kind of aim, to keep roots music alive. And no, there's loads of roots of music traditionally Kerry, you know. We're not bringing anything new in here. We're just going along what the tradition is here, and bringing in other forms, and maybe bluegrass music from the States, and you know, bands from Dublin, and you had it from Europe and Spain and that over the years. This is a seventh roots. So that's it, that's it.
And when, what year was that it was set up?
2014, yes. The first Carsavine Mountain Roots Music Weekend. It's not really a festival, Joe. It's a music weekend. Oh, no.
And what's the difference?
Well, a festival is a great thing, but a festival is, you know, all the other things, the clowns, fun fair and all that, you know. Nothing wrong with that, it's great. This is about music, really. It's about people enjoying music, getting involved in music, the locals getting involved with the visiting musicians. So it's a mainly music.
Yeah, and it sounds very immersive as well, that you don't just come and stand back either, like, you know.
It's a very, the most gigs and most concerts are intimate, in the sense people can get around the bands, and so it's there's not up there a big stage away from you, you know. It's you're kind of evolving around, and we have sessions, open sessions, you know, to get everyone interested and get involved, sing us old song if you want it, sing a song or play a tune. It's grand, you know. We want all people enjoy this and be involved in it.
Speaking about roots, where do your roots in music come from? Can you remember the first time you picked up an instrument, or how did it come about?
I was about 12, I think. I picked up the guitar. I remember my mother bought me, and my father bought me for Christmas a piano accordion, but I still have it. It wasn't hip at the time, as a guitar was a hip thing, you know. So So I hadn't a clue. I hadn't a clue how to tune. There was nothing that time in Ireland. This is the late 60s, early 70s. We had a mono record, and I got a Gordon Lightfoot LP, and I wanted to play like that. And I used to hours and hours and hours and hours lifting the needle, going back till after a few weeks I could finger pick the same as I did, and that's how we learned over the years. There was nothing there was no YouTube, and you just had to develop your ear, you know, and then you went out playing then at about 17, and the pubs, you know, you could complain the pub gigs, but I learned my trade in the pub gigs, because you had to survive in the pub gig. Someone come up and sing, and if you couldn't follow them and they went out of tune, you get the blame, not them. So you have to adapt very fast, and it was great for the ear, Joe. Yeah. It taught me to listen, and that's the most important thing in music to me, listening. I keep listening to music, you know. So,
and are you always learning as well, Richie? Because yeah. I can imagine now what the people that will be coming here to Maybank Holiday Weekend, you know, there'll be people from all different kind of musical yeah. backgrounds as well. Are you still learning to this day?
Completely. If you stop learning, sure, it's a waste of time. Like, I give a few lessons to kids, and I giving lessons, I'm learning. If you show someone something, it raises a new question in your head, you have to find out. So I'm learning the whole time, Joe, as simple as that. Yeah.
Now we'll take a break and we'll return to the interview I did with Richie and Celine after these.
The Saturday Supplement on Radio Kerry. Brought to you in association with Sean Lynch and John O'Rahilly, Hogan's Funeral Home, Tralee.
Now let's return to the interview I did with Celine Kavanagh McCarthy and Richie McCarthy of the Carsveen Mountain Roots Music Weekend.
And Celine, we were talking about, I suppose, you know, how you started it and how it came about. But it sounds like you've a strong kind of grasp on what you wanted to achieve and where you wanted to go as well.
Well, we do. I suppose we finished there in 2019. And we had great things planned for 2020. In 2019, it was amazing because we had the American bands down, bands from Dublin, bands from Brittany as well. And the main thing was we had the Cork Singers down. And I remember being over in the corner house after all the gigs, you know yourself, and the American groups were there, the Dublin groups were there, Sean Garvey was there, Tim Denny, he was there, local musicians were there. And on that note, we will dearly miss Sean this year. But basically, to see them all, getting involved, young people, old people, it just spread across all ages, all genres, you know, and people having the crack, you know, I suppose it brings people together, and it takes away the fear of playing with, you know, musicians who you might consider to be above your standard. But in all fairness, there is no such thing really. Everybody sings to their own level and everybody plays to their own level, and as long as their heart is in it. And that's the root of it, really. And I suppose that's why we're doing this. I suppose I've got an awful lot from music. All my life, I've got a lot from music, and it's just brilliant to give something back. I wasn't as enthusiastic when I came home first, you know, to start another festival straight away. And I said, oh, God, you know, give us a break. But before I knew it, McCandley was booked and John Spillane was booked, and we had to give it a name. We called it Hoch Tharsalia Folk Club at the time. I suppose with coming back, you know, coming home, travelling over the sea. I love the sea myself. And basically, I suppose then it kind of went on from there, do you know, initially I went, oh God, here we go again. But I did enjoy Cracken Crosshaven, and I must say I did enjoy every roots here. The people here in Carsveen are fantastic for getting behind you. I mean, there's people that come out of all corners to give you a hand. The Alliance came along this year on board with us, and they're a great support. And I suppose local businesses, Coleman gave us a great hand this year as well, to be fair, over in
Crookston. That's Coleman Crick, yeah.
Over in Crook's News Agents. And there's so many kind people there, like Skellig Soaps come along and they're selling the tickets. They're selling the tickets, and for us, and you know, they're raising it, and then he comes along. There's so many people getting involved. If I started to name them all out now, I'd be here for a month and a day, so I don't want to leave anybody out. You know, we go to O'Connor Printing always, and that's taken over now by John Sullivan. They're out in Delis. God, he does a great job, you know, and it's very professional, and it helps us, and he's very quick turnaround. But that's all local, you see. We like to try to keep our anything that we spend, we try to keep it local. Now, obviously, the musicians, a lot of them are coming from outside. But then again, I suppose Richie would have known most of them longer than I have. For example, there's a guy coming out, John Nyan. He's nearly 30 years bringing bluegrass musicians to Ireland. He's still having a celebration, I think, after the weekend for it. And he has deep connections. He's been very helpful to us. Not only does he come and play himself, but he brings these amazing bands to us. And High Praying Tradition are coming back from Colorado. They were here before. Nice guys, you know, they're older, they walk around the town, they get involved with people, chatting to people, a bit like John. Maybe not as much as John, but and John will laugh at this, I'm sure. But basically, you know, it's nice to have them back again. I've learned a lot, an awful lot from these guys and from John, just listening to them about music. Then there's bands like Two Time Polka and the Dizzy Blues coming back again. I mean, they've been very generous to us, and I suppose Two Time Polka have come to the Carsevine Festival as well. And on that note, the Carsevine Festival has been very good to us. Credit Union, very good to us again, you know, very, very great helping us out, and, you know, we do appreciate it.
Before you go on about the actual events, then, I asked Richie the question, so I better ask you, your roots in music, where does that begin?
Well, I suppose I grew up listening to everything from Jim Reeves to the Boomtown Rats to Paul Simon to Planxty, Andy Irvine, Liberty Bells. We had a stereo system always inside in the house. And my father and my mother were very much involved with music. And basically, you know, I can remember waking up one Monday morning and having my father singing the Boomtown Rats coming down the hall, which is fair play to him. And, you know, we always sang and we always played. And then, I suppose, as I went along further in school, then I got involved with Filemore, you know, and got interested in music up there. Maybe it wasn't the music I was interested in either, but there was something up there which was great and great fun. And then you had Mary Horgan calling to the door and bringing us out, up teaching us Tin Whistle and, you know, everything else. And I suppose I was always really interested in the guitar, you know. I suppose it was the Paul Simon, the Andy Irvine thing. And then I too heard Gordon Lightfoot, you know. Although I'd started playing the guitar before that, I kind of thought myself out of a book in those days. You know, all my brothers and sisters would be involved in music and, you know, play and sing and get involved. I suppose, you know, it's always been a great gathering excuse.
Yeah.
You know.
Richie, it is the universal language, to, you know, steal an old cliche, but it is. Yeah. Music is the universal language, and it sounds like that, you know, you're meeting all friends, but you're making new ones as well in a weekend like that.
Yeah, yeah. I think it is very encouraging that of the last few routes, see the young people, teenagers, kids, men in their 40s, 50s, 60s and 70s, all involved in playing music at one time. Now you have that in the traditional in Ireland, but you know, like having foreigners come in, foreign musicians, and being involved, that is, it's amazing. It's heartwarming. It's great, you know.
And also, you mentioned young people there, but there'll be people going to this, young people, that will it will affect the rest of their lives, because there's something like at these occasions when you go to see people play, something inspires you from that, because they're rare enough, kind of, you know, gatherings like that in such a beautiful way.
I suppose two groups of the previous six weekends, there were bluegrass groups, and they're all in their 20s and 30s. And I think when youngsters maybe take up the banjo, tenor banjo in Ireland, or the guitar, and they see these guys, and they're, you know, they're in 20s, a hip, you know, the bluegrass music becomes hip, and they might want to say to themselves, I want to do that. And if one person do that, it's worth it. One child do that, it isn't worth it, you know?
Yeah, lots of wonderful things taking place around this county on the May weekend, and that's another one to add to the diary. We'll take a break and we'll hear more from them after these.
The Saturday Supplement on Radio Kerry. Brought to you in association with Sean Lynch and John O'Rahilly, Hogan's Funeral Home, Tralee.
Now let's return to Richie and Celine of the Carsveen Mountain Roots Music Weekend.
Well, you've me sold, so tell us what's going on that weekend.
I will. I suppose basically Friday's a gathering day. Not Puck Fair, but it's still our gathering. So I got the idea there. Colin has Skelly got the sauna over in Cuscrom that weekend. So we're going to have a session, a music session, you know. And people want to book in, then Colin for the sauna, fine, or have a swim or whatever else. So that's kicking off at 4 o'clock for whoever wants to come over and kind of get themselves healthy before the weekend. Very important.
And you might need it after too.
I think I need it afterwards. I'd probably just fire myself into the sea afterwards, but that'll be grand too. But anyway, do you know, we're going to head over to Camo's then, like we normally do. And I suppose Ger Wolfe has been very good to us. So Ger Wolfe is going to sing a few songs with some of the local musicians, Rosalind and Peter Malarkey. Claire Horgan will come as well. And maybe a couple of young people and a couple of older people come in. And, you know, generally that's kind of very relaxed and very casual. It kind of happens as it happens. And it's normally very nice and takes us up to 9 o'clock. Then the Wheel Fun starts. Then there's three venues with sessions, you know. We have the East End Bar, Mertz and the Firtha. So there'll be people coming from all over and local musicians and going in having an open session. Open session just means that if you want to come in and play in a session, you're welcome. And on that note, there's people come to live in our area from other countries now, as we all know. And I'm hoping that some people who have come to our town will bring their music and their roots music and come and join us. And it has happened on some of our sessions up in the East End Bar. We had some Ukrainian people come in and sing a song from their country. I remember we had a session one time and a guy from Tibet came along and sang some of his local music. Very interesting. It was kind of a mix between Chinese and Indian, but it was very nice. Anyway, he seemed to be very involved. I didn't know what he was singing about, but it sounded good. And, you know, that's the main thing. And then Saturday morning, then we'll start off about 10 o'clock. We'll head up to the Fairfield, weather permitting. And, you know, there'll be a couple of craft stalls there. Fox in the Box will be there, I suppose, with a good coffee. We'll all need it. And then there'll be a stage. So a couple of the kids that were involved with the score might come up and sing a few songs. We're not going to limit it to them. If there's a child there that wants to sing, there'll be a mic there. The Paul will be coming over from Frank's. And basically, we'll just crack on with it and have a few songs and see what happens. Sean Shukru will be starting off a bit of poetry. And there'll be another lady. She said she was going to do painting to music. That sounds brilliant. That's great. I might try a bit of that myself. I've never done that. And then there'll be Sparrow Performing Arts. They will basically either do the showcase down in the community centre, downstairs, or above in the stage, whatever suits them. We're not going to be sticking anybody to anything that's walking distance. And weather permitting, if it's raining, we'll all be heading down to the community centre. Look, it's South Kerry, we'll have to deal with it if it happens. But thankfully, most of our events are inside. Then, after that, then we all need to chill out. So we'll go over to the East End Bar about 3 o'clock for a session until 5. And that's good open session. So the other sessions then be happening around the town. They'll be on the Sunday. There will be Max Melting Pot in Mertz between 5 and 7. And that will be the second, another open session. So that's a good lot of open sessions, really. Then again, it is Carsveen, so God knows what will spring up around the place. And that they're welcome to do that too. Then I suppose the other thing that will be happening is High Plains Tradition. They're coming from Colorado. So this year, where we're sitting, is the newest, oldest venue in town. The back of the Shebeen. I can remember coming in here when I was a youngster. And we'll carry on the tradition as well of, you know, after the pub gigs, everybody went to Cane's or went to the Ivra Ballroom before that. So now we're going to be coming up here to the Shebeen on Saturday night for High Pains Tradition and on Sunday night for Two Time Polka with your bar extension and the whole lot. And, you know, it'll be a good bit of crack. And I suppose Two Time Polka have been brilliant to us. They're great musicians and they're great to get involved. They've always come. They've always been very good to us. And I think that's a fitting way to finish off the festival. Getting back to High Plains Tradition, when they left the last time, people said, I hope you better get them back. And they're back. They're going to kick us off with Mass on Sunday morning. They're singing at Mass. And they asked, could they? And they were told they could. And half 11 Mass Sunday morning, I remember a fellow said to me one time, I don't know if I should say this, but he said, 'tis always a good sign when people stay around after communion. And that's what happened. And basically the church remained packed for the duration, and it was great. So they'll be playing as well over in the Firta from 3 to 5 on the Sunday, and that's always a good session. I think Skellig 16 might be 618 might be dropping in there as well, and always a good support as well, Skellig 618, in fairness. So that's High Plains tradition. Dizzy Blues, do you know something? They're a great bunch of lads. They've always come. Pat Horgan has his own music as well, and they're going to stay put in McMurtz Saturday and Sunday night. There's a roots trail really starts at 9:30 on Saturday and Sunday night, so they're going to be there. And you know, I'm not saying they're going to stay put either. They'll probably join in a session or two around the place, and that's fine as well. I'm delighted that Fiona Kennedy and her band are coming. I used to follow her when I lived in Cork, and you know, she's a great musician. She's got great commitment, great dedication to her music. She just produced a new album now. The latest track, and that is Find Me. She was in Radio Kerry actually last week on the 11 to 1 club all week, and tuning in there. So she's coming with her band on Saturday night to the Firta. We won't forget about Mick Power either. Mick has always come to the festival. He's coming on the Friday and staying until the Monday, and he'll get stuck everywhere. He's playing with a band now on the Sunday night there in the Firta called Reverse the Hearse. I've never met the rest of the lads, but if they're anything like Mick, we played with Mick a couple of times in different situations. I suppose the strangest one was outside Macroom. We had to stop because a tractor started, and then we had to stop again because a funeral went by. But there's always those funny situations when you're playing with musicians. But the funniest of all was we were playing here in a group called Storm of Strings with Mick during a music weekend, actually. And Mick was playing the lap steel, which was grand, until the following day Richie went in for coffee and he heard, in the name of God, that fella couldn't play the guitar at all. He was playing it upside down, you know, but it's fine. You know, that's the way it goes. And then we were looking for another band then for the Anchor, because the Anchor has always been a great spot for music, in fairness, for the Saturday night. And Neil Tineen, then another great musician here in town, basically he put us on to a group called Strunky. And they played in the Anchor before, and they were very popular. So they kind of play a lot of 60s to 90s roots music, and they're coming as well. I know I've probably left a lot of people. Oh, John 9. The John 9 special will be McMurtz on Sunday morning from 12:30 to 2. It'll be special, all right, I'd say. He's really excited about it, and he'll have a few guests and everything else, and that'll be great. Let me see, what else have I left out? Anything? I don't think I have. Concerts. Or the biggest thing of all, we were slow to start having the roots this year because we're down in venues, like, you know, the Skellig is gone, and Frank's Corner is gone now. Hopefully they'll be back. But basically, we were anxious to have concerts. I suppose Freddie White was supposed to come in 2020, and he was always good to us, really, in Crosshaven Folk Festival. So he's coming on the Saturday night, and Hank has come every year to the Roots. So he's actually going to be in concert this year with special guest Declan Sennett, and they have a new single out as well on Monday. And so I think they might be going to be played in Radio Kerry as well. I'm going to sleep down on the beach, it's called. I listened to it, it's brilliant. Great summer, it's a great song. And so basically I used to go to a couple of gigs with Declan Sennett in it in Cork as well, but I suppose he's well known around Ireland, you know, as a good recording artist and a good musician and a good producer himself and a good singer-songwriter himself and everything. So, he played with Chris Muir for a long time. And basically, he's coming on the Sunday night. So the venue is above the Haven, above the Anchor in the Haven. It's a nice, intimate venue. I suppose tickets, we have to have a ticket, it's €20. On that note, all events are free, except for the two concerts and the late night venues here. It's just a €10 cover charge. I suppose you have to cover things there, but everything else is free. We'll be selling little pins, you know, if you want to buy one, just as a little souvenir for the Roots for €10, you can suit yourself. But it'd be nice to see people wearing them. And looking forward to the whole thing, really. We're nearly there now. We have everything sorted. I suppose it's nice that we meet people like yourselves that will give us a bit of airtime, because it's all about getting it out there. We have people coming from, the last time we had people coming from every country, America, Canada, France, Brittany, all over Europe. Met people from Asia. You know, they heard about us through the Wild Atlantic Way, and they heard about us to Discover Ireland. Some people just kind of happened to stumble along. We really miss Mortimer as well, and Mannix Point. A lot of people came up from there. You know, there was a guy down there, Valhalla. He actually gives a lovely review. I think he stumbled into the Max Melting Pot session, and Mick Power was inside there playing Without You on the from YouTube on the lap steel. Yeah. It was amazing. It was absolutely brilliant. Yeah. You know, these kind of things happen.
We're in a place where it says, we're in the Shebeen Bar, a place I know very well. And Mary Conroy, if you're listening, this is the place now where I told you that I won the Mikado biscuits, or sorry, the Kimberley biscuits when I was 8 years of age, when Radio Kerry did an outside broadcast here. But their logo is, it's written on the gable wall, where the people of the world meet. And it sounds like the people of the world are definitely going to be meeting here on the May bank holiday weekend. Celine, going on that, you mentioned some fantastic venues, fantastic events. You're packing a lot in here. Do you know, it's brilliant, but it sounds to me like the people that partake, like the musicians and things, that it's great for them too. It's almost like a holiday as well. Do you know, they wouldn't come here otherwise.
Well, you know, they come down, they stay, you know, we provide accommodation for them because we're not exactly living in Dublin or Cork. Mm. On that note, you have the likes of San Anton, B&B have always been very good to us, and this year's Skellig.com accommodation, Lisa, she's been brilliant, you know, because one of the things that is important is that when you're representing your town, mm. so when musicians come from away, they're going to bring back what they experienced here to where they come from, and you know, you're building up your name. So we always like to keep up you know, our reputation of being hospitable. And on the site as well, you know, we've lots of areas of interest here, and a lot of musicians, they'll go to Valencia, you know, they go down to Port McGee, you know, they go to the different sites around, and they we were involved with the walking group there 1 year, and they went off walking with them. You know, they have their gigs and they go off and they see the places. I mean, there's lovely restaurants here, you know, there's great amenities here, you know. There's Camus, Cousy's and Barry Cafe, you know, and Low Eva's. There's so many places here that people can enjoy a bit of food. And there's so much to do here for the musicians. So when they come, they yes, they're working, but they have a holiday as well. You know, and that's important, I think. And I suppose we're very grateful that some local people as well give houses, you know, which is great, really.
Yeah, it's fantastic. If people want more information, where do they go? And if they want to get tickets for those concerts, do they just turn up on the night, or what way does that work?
Well, no, sadly, there's only 60 seats, so Freddie White is nearly gone. The number for contact is on the website, which is hashtag Carsevine Mountain Roots, and the website is carsevinemountainrootsmusic.com. So the website is the best place to go, because the full venue is in the front page of the website. Facebook is great, Instagram is great, but the website has everything on it, you know. So the tickets then, I suppose they can ring the number on the website. It's 087-706-9935, or they can look up Mount, if you just type in Carsevine Mountain Roots, you'll get the contact on
Google
the internet. Google it.
Richie, you wanted to come in there.
I just, I want to thank the Kerry Council getting on board this year with us, and look forward to working with them down the line. Norma Moriarty gave us a big help as well. So I just want to mention that. So that's it, Joe. Thanks, yeah. Thanks.
It sounds like it's a fantastic weekend, and isn't it absolutely fantastic during COVID when everything was kind of on Zoom? Something like this, you need to be there in person, so it's brilliant that you're organising this. And I know from being involved in events myself, these things, they don't just happen a few weeks out. You're thinking about it probably from when you finish one, you're thinking about the other. So you should be commended, because it's a not-for-profit as well, like you say, and it brings much needed, I suppose, you know, it brings a feel-good factor to the area, which is needed as well, and it brings outside people in, which is great for the local economy as well, so you should be commended when the summer is only getting going as well. And you mentioned the Celtic Music Festival, it kind of bookends the summer, which is lovely as well. We mentioned some of the venues, Celine, and the anchors, Pauline Maguire, famous Abbey playwright, and I'd say that the upstairs venue, I'm almost certain, was her sitting room. But so that is a great venue to have, where Brendan Behan and Luke Kelly and all them would have been in. But the venues are brilliant, and they add a lot to it.
Well, they are, and we're very grateful to them. We realise how difficult it is for them now, because times have changed for venues, and it's very hard for some venues to keep their doors open. So we do appreciate the effort that they make, you know, to afford us the platform for live music, and we really appreciate them. We'd like to thank them. This year, the venues on board are simply the East End, the Shebeen here, Mertz, the Firth of Barron Restaurant, and the Anchor, the Haven. And they're the venues involved this year. And, you know, we have to give them credit. And I suppose the community centre as well has been very good. There will be an office open over the weekend in the community centre, and we'll bring it up for the market. And Seamus there from Skellig Soul and Steel will be running that for us. He runs it every year. And, you know, he's great local knowledge as well, yeah, as being a nice guy. So
it's great to have that help with you as well, you know, volunteers and people help you out as well.
Oh, we have a fair few volunteers, yeah, now. It'd be great. And, you know, I suppose, like, you get Corcoran's Furniture there now, and, you know, they've been very good, you know, to giving us stuff for the weekend, and the Oratory as well. And, you know, yourself, Joe, what can I say? Thank you very much for giving us the time to talk and get it out there. We really appreciate it.
Yeah, absolutely. And brilliant. And it's great to, you know, there's a lot of musicians, but they don't go away and organise festivals as well like you're doing, which is absolutely fantastic. You can hear your passion for it. So again, I'd like to wish you the best of luck, and it sounds like a fantastic weekend, Maybank holiday weekend. And I'll give out the website again after the interview, but thanks for meeting me here, and best of luck with it.
And thank you, Joe.
Yeah, there you have it, and I hope you enjoyed that interview. And it's great to hear people so passionate about their music, and I'd say memories are made on a weekend like that. And it's Carsveen Mountain Roots Music.com, and we wish them all the best. Now we're going to take a break, and we'll have more after these.
The Saturday Supplement on Radio Kerry, brought to you in association with Sean Lynch and John O'Rahilly, Hogan's Funeral Home, Tralee. You're listening to the Saturday Supplement with Joe McGill on Radio Kerry.
Also, I hope you're enjoying the programme. Up next is a seasonal short feature. Sitting outdoors, a feeling of spring in the air, Mary Lavery Carrig chats to her neighbour Priscilla. They are together on a deck outside in Priscilla's back garden. And Priscilla tells Mary about how she met Tom Donovan and how she decided to move to Ireland with him, settling into life, loving nature and loving the birds. The music you will hear is the Coolin, played by Mary and Priscilla's friend Tom Stack on fiddle. Enjoy this.
You met Thomas Donovan in New York.
Yes, we met in New York. I originally am from Cleveland, Ohio, and I grew up in a very industrial section of Cleveland with the factories. And then I moved to New York when I was an adult to follow my artistic aspirations. And I was there about 13 years when I met Tom. And we met in a little Irish cafe called The Chanting House, which was a teeny tiny place where everyone spoke to one another, and that's how we met.
And you decided to move to Ireland.
I did. I'd say the last 5 years that I was in New York, I had really had enough of it. You know, when I first got there, let's say the first 10 years, I mean, I was enthralled by everything that the city had to offer, the museums and the libraries and the shows and the operas and all of that, you know, was absolutely wonderful. But as I got older, you know, I started getting tired of the schlepping, that's a good New York word, schlepping on the subways and a lot of noise pollution in the city. And I found that when I came to Ireland for a visit, I was just enthralled by the sky, the cows, the birds, you know, everything about nature that I had never really experienced in my life before, not on this scale.
And then you're here, and we're sitting out on a deck that Tom built?
Well, when I first came here, there was no deck, there was no extra room, and the field came all the way up to the house. And slowly I began to make a garden, and I really should say we began to make a garden. It was my vision, but Tom did all the heavy work. I'd say, I need a hole dug here, and he dig the hole. You know, I need this planted here, and, you know, so we did it together. And then he had the idea of making this deck, and he did. He built it with his own hands, and then he had help building a covering for it, which is great because we can just sit out on the deck, and even if it's raining a bit outside, we're fine under the deck.
And you have beautiful bird life here.
We have, and I'd say that's largely due to Tom, because Tom really was a nature lover. I think all of his spirituality was connected to nature, and he wanted to make this land that we have a haven for nature and the birds. And we started feeding the birds, and I got a bird bath, and, you know, that was Tom's thing, feeding the birds. And even when he was sick and I had him in the back room here, he could oversee the garden and he could see the birds coming to feed and to bathe. And he, you know, if they ran out of food, anyone who was visiting had to go out and feed the birds for Tom. One of the last memories I have of him is I made a place for him where he could lay out here, and helped him come out, and the birds were just singing that day. It was absolutely glorious. And he said, you don't have to die to go to heaven. It's right here. You know, I continue feeding the birds, and my neighbor is also a nature lover, and that's what we use the land for, my neighbor has bees, and we plant flowers and bushes and everything.
Wonderful.
For the bees.
Why do you think the birds were so precious to Tom?
Well, he just understood, I think, the whole ecosystem and how they are needed, you know, they're just needed for for the ecosystem. He was really big on saving the planet, you know, from the dangers of pollution and ecology. And also, I think birds are very, you know, they seem like very little vulnerable little creatures, but they just go about their life. He said they have a B&B here. They live in the bushes, and then they have the breakfast, and after I bought the bath, and they have the bath, and they're just delightful to watch, you know, taking a bird bath and feeding and all of that.
And at this time of the year, they're pairing off, aren't they?
They are, and I just got our doves back.
Wow.
Yeah, after Tom died, two doves came into the garden, and they've been here now for 4 years, but I didn't see them all winter, and the other day I saw both of them feeding at the bird feeder and then taking a drink from the water, from the bird bath.
Priscilla, I understand there's a special moment in your memories connected to a cuckoo.
Yes, and it was the first and last time I ever heard a cuckoo, and it was on the day that Tom died. He died in Tralee at the hospital, and when I came home, I heard this cuckoo. It sounded, I thought someone had a cuckoo clock in their window open. But no, it was a cuckoo, and he was here for about an hour and a half, and my neighbor, which is Tom's sister, heard it, and they said in all the time being here at Tiriclay, they have never heard a cuckoo. And we had it here for about an hour and a half, and it went, and we never heard it again. So that was Tom's connection with the birds, you know? There's a myth. You know, I know there's a myth about the birds and dying and all of that, so who knows?
Ah. Ah, yes, don't we all love the birds? There is indeed something magical about the birds all around us. Thanks to Mary, who of course is a former student of mine, Mary Lavery Carrig, and to Priscilla and to Tom for their contributions. A lovely short feature for the Saturday Supplement on this spring morning. Now we're going to take a break for the news, and in the next hour we'll have our Kerry Women in Sport featuring Selena Looney, and we'll also have our Kerry County Council Creative Kingdom.
The Saturday Supplement on Radio Kerry. Brought to you in association with Sean Lynch and John O'Rahilly, Hogan's Funeral Home, Tralee. The Saturday Supplement with Joe McGill on Radio Kerry.
Now you're welcome along to the second hour of the Saturday Supplement. I'm Joe McGill. If you want to get in touch with me during the week, email me, jmcgill@radiokerry.ie. At 10:30, we're going to have our Kerry County Council Creative Kingdom, letting you know what's going on in the arts world. But first, it's time for another episode of Kerry Women in Sport. And this time, we're featuring Killarney Legion's Selena Looney, who made history by becoming the first female chairperson of Kerry Ladies Football Association. And not only that, but the youngest association chair in the country. This documentary was funded by the Broadcasting Authority of Ireland with the television licence fee.
For a young girl or any aged girl or woman, you know, to see a woman sitting at the top, it meant that I had a lot to live up to. You know, no matter what age the girl is, I am representing her.
In this episode of Kerry Women in Sport, we hear the story of Selena Looney. In 2022, the Killarney Legion's clubwoman made history by becoming the first female chairperson of Kerry Ladies Football Association, and also the youngest association chair in the country.
Selena Looney, and I'm from Killarney. Probably my earliest memory in sport is probably Legion's Academy. So Killarney Legion is my home club, and I remember playing football there. Although my earliest memory isn't probably playing football, it is probably after the session on a Saturday where we'd all run down to the clubhouse and we'd get a little treat after football. So I was probably about 4 years of age, and yeah, that was the highlight of my Saturday, going to football but running down to the clubhouse to get a little treat afterwards.
Selena played football from an early age, and boys and girls played together.
In the early days, so in the academy, we played with the boys, which I suppose really built us to be the tough little girls on the field as well when we came into our own teams. So going up through the ranks then, we played on our own under-12s. We might have dipped into some of the boys' games too, but we did in Legion. To be fair, we had our own team. Numbers were small-ish. They grew kind of exponentially then as I played up through the ranks and played the whole way up. Made it to a few county leagues, won a few county league medals. And I suppose dipped out of it a little bit when I had my eldest little boy. I was 19 when I had him, so I kind of shied away from football a small bit, but came back then maybe when I was about 21 and fell into a coaching role as well. So my mom at the time had asked me, would I attend a meeting for my sister's under 12 team? And yeah, I don't think I was 21 yet. I think I might have been the 20, but I said, okay, I'll go. She said, they're looking for helpers. I said, right, would you go for me? I said, I'll go for you, Mum. So I rocked on to that meeting where I was thanked for coming, and congratulations, you're the under-12 coach. So needless to say, I didn't go in there to represent my mum and help, and I came away with a team. So kind of returning to football that year was a lot. I'd a small little young fella at home, and I kind of was trying to dip my feet back into playing after having a child, and trying to navigate that early 20s and find myself again and fall back into a community where I felt really seen, held and understood, and it was something for me, you know. And but I got so much more out of it going back into coaching. I realised I actually really love this, and had a whole different perspective of the game. So it's very different to play the sport compared to trying to coach kids to play the sport. You see two very different sides to the game.
In addition to playing for her club, Selena got involved in the administration side of things. And during her time as Legion Ladies Chairperson, she successfully aligned both the ladies and men's arms of the club.
Legion became the first GAA club in the country to have a universal constitution for both the men and women's sides of the club.
In football in general, you have the GAA, you have the LGFA. So you have two associations that govern either men's and boys' football and then ladies' and girls' football. So in Legion, although you had two governing bodies, which we will in the country until there's one governing body governing both, we operated to a degree as one club. Unspoken rule, but we still had things that weren't universal, or, you know, on paper they weren't universal. Going back now about 2 years ago, we brought it to the AGM. So we had our AGM online because COVID at the time prohibited us from being in person. So I brought a proposal that we actually align and create a brand new constitution that would be representative of both codes, that would kind of align and give a generalised approach no matter the gender. Like, whether you were the under-12 girls team or the under-11 boys team, you would be treated absolutely the same, and we would endeavour, you know, to, you know, make sure that that would happen. And it was well received. We said absolutely, you know, no matter what side of the house, whatever code you were, everybody thought, yes, absolutely, why not? You know, it was kind of an unspoken rule there anyway. So a committee was formed. There is 5 or 6 of us actually involved, and we had 3 representatives from, let's say, the ladies' side that knew the ladies' official guide, and then obviously 3 representatives from the men's that knew the constitution and what it meant for GAA rules to be upheld. So we combined both. Everything was universal. And at the time when we were doing this, we rang numerous counties, we checked in with numerous clubs, a lot of the one clubs in the country, to see did they have a document such as this that would help them run their clubs. And a lot of them said no, we don't. Again, unspoken rule, we have the ladies' guide and we make sure we adhere to it, and we have the club's constitution and we make sure we adhere to that. But nothing had what it meant to be a girl playing football and what it meant to be a boy playing football in both documents. So this document did, you know. So it was amazing to be involved in that, and, you know, to kind of get involved in that initiative and drive it home and see it out in my time there. So yeah, it was definitely one of my proudest moments, absolutely. But it was, like I said, it was a collective. It was well received by the club, and there were 6 of us involved in it, and making sure that the document meant the most to all the members.
Selena also got involved in administration at county board level.
So I had done fixtures for about 5 years before I took on the role last year of chairperson for the county. And I do think with that solid base and fixtures behind me, being able to navigate the club's issues with fixtures, and for most clubs they are the biggest issues, you know, they want to make sure that all their members are taken care of, particularly with the games, because that is what our sport is, you know, we want to play a game, you know, we want to get out in the field. I think being able to navigate all those, being able to put structures in place where we have a robust season of football, and, you know, we have a master plan that's colour coded, you know what's happening throughout the whole year, set me up for stepping into this position. And I felt like I knew what I was capable of because I had dealt with fixtures for such a long time, that it gave me a solid base to kind of navigate any issues that should arise for being chair of the county board.
In 2022, Killarney Legion Selena Looney made history by becoming the first female chairperson of Kerry Ladies Football Association. And not only that, but the youngest association chair in the country.
So I'm the first elected county board chairperson, yes. And, you know, when it happened, there was, I won't say a wave of pressure, but I knew I had big shoes to fill. You know, I knew it came with a lot of responsibility. It came with great pride and respect, but an awful lot of responsibility, that for a young girl or any aged girl or woman, you know, to see a woman sitting at the top, it meant that I had a lot to live up to. You know, no matter what age the girl is, I am representing her. You know, the other members in the board, I need to make sure that I am always on top of things. I am, you know, steering the committee in the right direction, and most of all for those young members that are looking up to the county board for guidance, that I always have the best interests of our members, and particularly I always look to when I was coaching my sister, and I know this might sound silly, I have three boys so I can't be looking at them, but when I was coaching my sister, you know, I knew that she was looking at me from the field. She'd be looking to me at the sideline for guidance and looking up to her eldest, because I was the eldest. But she'd be looking up to me for guidance and, you know, direction and support. And the fact that I was her sister meant that there was a little bit extra there, you know. Now, it also meant that I was probably a little bit harder on her, but it meant that I worked a little bit harder to prove to her that, look, I am a really good coach and I'm going to take care of you and the team. So I suppose I look at my members the same way, as my little sister looking up to me, looking to me for guidance on the field and making sure that I'm doing the best that I can, you know, be it for the county players. This year we have 7 inter-county teams. It's huge, it's great, the sport is growing. We have so many talented young players coming through. For them, I want to make sure that I'm always making the right decision, that anything that we discuss as an executive is the right approach for these people, these girls, these women that are wearing our jersey. But not just for them, for the girls that are just playing football in their club. It's that we are providing the best support structure for the clubs too. And I suppose my approach is a little bit different than maybe previous chairs, because I have something that they don't. I'm still a player. You know, I can see the players' perspectives. You know, when a player tells me about something that they might be maybe upset or aggrieved of, something that maybe we're not doing or structurally has not happened yet, I know it, I see it. And I can see it from the coach's perspective, the club administration perspective, because I've been in those positions. And there's one that I haven't said yet. I can see the pain that the referees endure, because I'm also a referee. So I have a little bit of an insider knowledge to all of these areas where things can kind of crop up, because I've been them, or I still am in those areas.
The Saturday Supplement on Radio Kerry, brought to you in association with Sean Lynch and John O'Rahilly, Hogan's Funeral Home, Tralee. The Saturday Supplement with Joe McGill on Radio Kerry.
You're listening to an episode of Kerry Women in Sport, where we hear the story of Killarney Legion's Selena Looney, Kerry Ladies Football Association first female chairperson. In recent times, there has been a lot of discussion about the difficulties and lack of awareness around women getting back into sport after having a child. Selena is well placed to discuss this.
I myself, I'm a pre and postnatal exercise specialist, so this is what I do full-time for a living. I help women navigate that postpartum return to training and wherever they go from there after, be it athletes or be it just a mom just trying to get back into some bit of exercise routine. I have noticed after, I suppose it's particularly after my second boy, I went away and got qualified as a personal trainer, but went on then to specialise in pre and postnatal, because at the time, and now we are going back 6 years, but at the time information wasn't readily available to me to navigate coming back. So football, it is a high impact sport, and even for myself navigating that kind of return, there were no real guidelines for me or accessible to me. And I know I catapulted myself into football after my first little fella, and did have a few issues navigating that, but again, I didn't have the information. So now there is a little bit more, and there is a little bit of a structure. So there are return to running protocols, and there are absolutely fantastic pelvic health physios all around the country. And I do think from a postpartum guideline, I do think if it is available to a woman, that every woman should see a physio after birth and just get the run through, you know, have a once over with their physio, have a chat if they have any niggles, any issues. And particularly if a woman is returning to sport, and even more so a high impact sport, that they do get that initial assessment, see where they are, and then seek guidance from a PT that specializes in this, and get a really good plan drawn up for them, and prehab, so that they do that rehabilitation before returning to the field of play. So I do think across the board within the LGFA, to make it more accessible to women after having a child, that they can return to their high impact play. Now, they do have Mothers and Others clubs set up all over the country at the moment, where if you want to come back and just have an outlet and have a bit of chat, have a little bit of, get your exercise in, you know, and it's, I really do like that approach. It's a great community spirit. It's somewhere to, again, like I said, find that community. But for the moms that are kind of between that and between the senior team, and they want to go back into, you know, playing championship, playing your county league with your club, maybe winning an all medal, that's where, you know, more guidelines need to kind of come in place for them, that, you know, they know where to go.
Selena has set many goals to achieve during her term as chairperson.
So we have really pushed hard on, I'm going to start with this one first though, pushed hard on development and across all different areas. So we have a development committee that we brought in last year, and we have built a 3-year development programme to really help cement and structure, to build a really good structure here within the county for both players, clubs, administrators, and as well as referees. We're really trying to improve all those different pillars and try and provide as much support and resources to every member. So not just counties, but just every member club-wide. Another thing that we're really trying to focus on is providing all, and one of my goals is to provide all our county teams with the best resources and structures that we can, and hopefully bring home all the medals and trophies and goals that we can before I see my term out. Last year was a great year. We came home with an under-14 All-Ireland, and the senior ladies made it to their All-Ireland, came home with a Division 2 title. So look, this year the drive is on for Division 1, and the drive is on for that All-Ireland, chasing that All-Ireland. But particularly one of our biggest goals is that we will have our field, that Kerry ladies will have a permanent base, a place where they get to call home, a place where, you know, they feel like, right, this is it, this is where I train hard, this is where I'm going to put in the groundwork for winning my All-Ireland. So that is one of our biggest goals. That is all in great discussions at the moment. We're really just trying to iron out the last little final details there, and hopefully we can break ground on that before I see my term out, whenever that may be, but that would be something that I get to see through to the very end.
The LGFA and the GAA are two separate organisations, and moves have been made to explore the possibility of both codes joining together. So what are Selena's thoughts on this?
There's different lenses that you look through this at. So a lot of LGFA clubs and counties, they don't have their own fields. So it makes training, it makes playing games awful more difficult. So with that umbrella approach, having that access, it's cemented, it is now all our fields, is a godsend, because that is, we'll say, facilities is the biggest issue that we always see. Facilities and, I suppose, resources. The fields won't increase though. So even though they'll be universally available, the resources, the facilities will be universally available, it doesn't make them more available as well, if that makes sense. You're still going to have the same amount of people and the need for it, but it will help alleviate, I think, that pressure. I think from a merger point of view, it is a great idea. It would raise the profile, that is the hope and aims, that it would raise the profile of the ladies' sports, be it ladies' football, camogie, you know, it would raise that level. But also, it's double-edged, you know. It really needs time. That's the thing. I think when you're walking into these mergers, you really need to take time to see, if we're going to increase an area, what is going to be decreased? It's a give and take. What are we going to give and what are we going to get in return? I would love to see in the next 10 years that it is universal, as in no matter what you're getting. And particularly now I'm talking about the players, that a lady player is not out of pocket. That if a men's team is going to receive it for that county or that club, that the lady is equally compensated as well. Gates equal, you know, the cost of admission for games would be equal. And then All-Ireland Day, that's maybe the ladies and the men, you know, that it's a double header. You know, you get to, now maybe that probably isn't feasible, but you know, the ladies All-Ireland has a packed stadium. You know, that it is equal, you know, no matter what, code you play for, everything is equal. And you know, and I would just love for the ladies to, for their value and worth to be seen, and for the spectators around, particularly our county, to really get behind our ladies and see what our ladies can do, because they are incredible athletes and they wear that jersey with so much pride. And that's something that I would love to see, and it's actually one of my goals anyway, is that more people get behind our women and see these women play, because they are phenomenal athletes and they are phenomenal credits to Kerry.
At the launch of the 2023 Lidl Ladies National Football Leagues, the Kerry Ladies football team unveiled new black shorts, a switch from the traditional white, worn with Kerry's regular green and gold jersey. Kerry were the latest women's team to change from white, after a host of similar changes across several sports over the past year, to alleviate player concerns about wearing white shorts while on their period.
Going back to the taboo thing, like, this goes back to what we had in our earlier conversation about women returning to sport. You know, I think just because something has always been done away doesn't mean that it should always be done that way. You know, times do change, and I do think we're all more open and accepting of talking about subjects that are a little bit difficult, be it menstruation, be it, you know, postpartum, be it just having a baby, be it incontinence or any other issues that you experience, you know. And I do think the ladies that we have now are paving the way for future, you know. And this is our ladies, as well as other ladies around the country representing their counties. This is the, this is the generation of change. You know, they're way more accepting and open to, no, I'm not comfortable in these shorts. We do need a change. And I think the administrations as well that are in positions, this generation, they're like, yeah, absolutely. You know, this isn't something that, that's open for, that's even a discussion, you know. If you want darker shorts, then darker shorts it is, you know. So I suppose for ourselves, it was a no-brainer. You know, it was something that would help our players feel confident on the field. So that is always something that we're going to support.
And has Selena ambitions of going forward, maybe national level, and who knows, possibly president of the association?
Definitely, if someone had approached me last year, I would have said, yeah, we're going to go all the way to the top. Don't know how soon, don't know if I'd be the youngest there. This year, I think I took a little step back and said, right, there's still a lot of work to do in our own county before I give my services up to national or chasing a higher goal. Now, that goal is still there, that I'd move my way all the way up to the top and be above there at some stage. But for right now, I know that there's a lot more that I can contribute to Kerry, and I would like to continue to contribute to Kerry in my role currently, and maybe even future roles, or even probably getting into coaching roles. I'm not too sure where I'm going yet in Kerry, but I know administratively I still have a lot to give. And I know we touched on only 3 goals, but I know there's a lot more that there's there in the pipeline that we want to kind of finish and see through as well.
Yeah, that's Selena Looney there, and I want to thank Selena, and she has achieved a lot, and it'll be fascinating to see what she will achieve in the future, because she's so accomplished already, and some vital subject matters she brought up there as well, which is great to hear. So thanks a million, Selena. Now, after the break, we'll have our Kerry County Council Creative Kingdom.
The Saturday Supplement on Radio Kerry. Brought to you in association with Sean Lynch and John O'Rahilly, Hogan's Funeral Home, Tralee. You're listening to the Saturday Supplement with Joe McGill on Radio Kerry.
Now, so it is the second Saturday of the month, so that means it's time for our Kerry County Council Creative Kingdom, where we let you know what's going on in the arts world around this county. And there's always lots happening, and I don't know how Kate Kennelly does it. When she comes on here, she manages to get through it all in the space we have, and she joins us now, Arts Officer with Kerry County Council. Kate, you're very welcome. How are you?
I'm very well, Joe, and good morning to you and to all your listeners on this lovely April morning.
Now, we always start by going backwards before we go forward. So what have you been up to?
Well, as you know, there's been some really good events in March, Joe, and congratulations. I saw their animation Dingle got great coverage on RTE. Great festival, as you know. Yeah. And there was many other events which we went through the last time. But since I last saw you, Joe, Kerry County Council has awarded its Arts Act grant bursaries for the year. Now, the Arts Act, it's a legislative act that requires local authorities to support the arts in the counties or in their local authority area. So under the Arts Act this year, there was 28 grants awarded to a total of €35,000, and those 28 grants went across the whole county. Now, what I would say, Joe, we probably had double the level of application, and I'd just like to say to anyone who didn't secure funding, please don't be disheartened and please apply again, because it is always very competitive. But you know, on any given year you can be very close, and you might as well apply again, and the chances are you would get it the following year. So do apply, and we will be running an information evening in November of this year. We're going to do an online session about filling in your grant application form. We also awarded artist bursaries and artist and schools bursaries, and there was €22,000, and there was 25 bursaries awarded. So that's 25 artists across the county supported to do their work and to work in schools to help more young people get involved in the arts. So really positive, Joe, I think, for the future of the county. And just so you know as well, under Creative Ireland, then we reintroduced the Creative Communities Grant Scheme. And this came about from the public consultation we ran last year. So we also launched the Creative Ireland Strategy from 23 to 27. And we had a lovely launch with that. And they're available now, hard copy, in the libraries in Tralee, Killarney, Listowel and Ballybunion. But also people can download the version off our website, which is arts.kerrycoco.ie. And just so you know, we awarded 12 applications and a total of €40,000. So that's really substantial investment in arts and creativity across the county through both Creative Ireland and Kerry County Council. And it's all for the good of the people, because when I say to arts, it is people. You know, it's artists and it's the people working with the artists. So this is all for the people of Kerry, and it's really, really important. And I know that there'll be some disappointed in the creative communities. We had almost 40 applicants. The standard was very high. There was a few that were there or thereabouts, didn't quite make the cut. Do again, apply next year. Don't be disheartened. You should always apply, because, you know, that's the only way you're going to get in with a chance.
Very good. Well, we are going to be speaking a little later with someone that's involved in the Arts and School Bursary, which is actually it's associated with Gaelscoil Listowel. But first, we're going to be talking about another exciting events that are going to be taking place in this county, and that is at Killarney House. There's some upcoming poetry events there. And to tell us more, we have Rachel Kavanagh. Rachel, you're very welcome. Tell us, what have ye got going on?
Good morning, Joe. Thank you for the invite. It's nice to be here. It is coming up on the 27th of April. It is Poetry Day Ireland. So although we're not actually running the event on the Thursday, we've moved it over into the weekend, the following weekend, for two reasons, actually. We thought the reach on over a weekend would be much greater than it is on a Thursday evening. And secondly, it's because it's running into towards May Day, which of course is Bealtaine here. So, and the idea is the poetry events going on for over the weekend, we've got two. In the afternoons, one on the Saturday and one on the Sunday, and then we've got one on the Saturday evening as well. So the topic or the for this year for Poetry Day Ireland was Message in a Bottle. So we will have what we're trying to do is bring in younger generations and older generations together. So ideally we want people to come with their aunts, their uncles, or their grandmothers or grandparents or older siblings, and it's a sort of an intergenerational poetry event. It'll be hosted on Saturday by John Sexton, a really, really well-known, very popular local poet. Obviously, he's written a series of books. He's also done events or radio shows for RTE as well. So we're lucky to have him on the Saturday. So that'll be from 2 till 4:30. And everybody that comes we can have people coming on their own, and we'll just team them up with somebody. But the idea is that we're creating a message in a bottle, literally. So John and on Saturday, and then Eileen Sheehan on Sunday, will go through their poetry workshops. And at the end, it will culminate in each of the pair writing their own poet, either their own creation, or maybe it might be one of their favourite poems, well-known poems. They're going to write it out on a piece of paper, roll it up, and pop it in the bottle. And then hopefully, the idea will be, is that generationally going through then, is that people will keep adding their own messages to that bottle, and maybe even become a bit of a family heirloom as well. So that's the idea of the two poetry workshops on the Saturday and Sunday. And then on Saturday evening, starting at 6:30, we have got poetry readings from Killarney House Library. So I don't know sort of if you've ever been in before, or whether your listeners may have been in, but we have a huge, extensive library here in Killarney House, and the books have been beautifully restored by the Mockrus Book Bindery. The Saturday evening from 6:30, I have been liaising with a lady called Marilyn, who people probably know from the Killarney Immigrants Support Agency here in town. And we have got poems from the library copied out, and they will then stand in front of people. They will introduce themselves, so we all get to know a bit more about people coming into the town, their background, their cultures. They're going to do poetry readings from the books here at Killarney House. So these books that haven't been opened and read for probably 200 or 300 years, they're going to finally see the light of day.
Rachel, you'll have to bring out the fancy gloves for that.
Oh, absolutely. The white gloves will be on. Oh, yeah. All done in the best conservation techniques, definitely. So, yeah, so it should be a really enjoyable evening. So, as I say, we'll get to meet members from the wider Killarney community, and they'll be reading from the books.
Excellent. If people want more information, Rachel, where do they go if they want to find out more about it, or if they want to get involved and come along?
Absolutely. They are more than welcome to phone us here at Killarney House. The telephone number is 01-539-3620, or they can drop us an email at info@npws.gov.ie, or it's also up on Facebook. And it's also up on our webpage as well, under the news and events as well. So all the information's up on there. There's also posters dropped around town as well. So people should be able, there's one up at the library. So if people are interested, they can either give us a call, or as I say, they'll see posters and bits and pieces up around town too.
Excellent. Rachel Kavanagh, thanks a million for coming on, and best of luck with what sounds like a fantastic event.
Lovely, Joe. Thanks a million for having us. Thank you. Cheers. Bye-bye.
No. Kate and I were mentioning earlier about the Artists in Schools bursary that they were recently awarded by Kerry County Council, by the Arts Office. And one particular bursary was awarded to Gail Scull Listuhl, and involved in that is Mary Quirk of Quirk Creations. Mary, you're very welcome. Tell us all about this.
Good morning, Joe. And thanks to Kerry County Arts for inviting me to speak on the Radio Kerry Creative Kingdom slot. This year, I'm very fortunate to be collaborating with Gail Scull Listuhl as part of the Kerry County Council Artists and Schools Bursary. This bursary will benefit the children by providing them with the opportunity to explore and develop their creativity, imagination and self-expression through the medium of drama. This in turn will help them to boost their self-confidence, their social awareness and their creative and critical thinking skills. Drama is a powerful tool for promoting self-discovery and personal growth. It encourages teamwork, turn-taking, emotional expression, and it also supports a positive and inclusive learning environment for all students. Unless we forget it, it's great fun.
Yeah.
I spoke with Seán Ina Cúan on Príomha de Gael Scull Listuhl, and she believes that this funding will be a transformative experience for the children involved and that it will help them to grow as individuals. She appreciates that it will involve a lot of hard work and dedication, but she knows that the children are up for the challenge. Seana recognises that our drama project will not only have a positive impact on the school, but also on the wider community, as it will showcase the talent and potential of their young students and encourage others to get involved in creative activities. I will be working with 30 students from Rangahé and Agus Rangadó, alongside Muntur Haley Nagul, their class teacher. I will visit the school weekly, commencing after this Easter break. I offer instruction both creative writing and drama, and as a scriptwriter, I write scripts to suit the class age and size, and I'm keen to include all students in this process. I personally have found it very difficult to source suitable content online that extends participation to all. Most are based on a handful of main characters, with the remaining children left with non-speaking roles. I write parts for every child, taking into consideration that sometimes there is also need to write for children with varying degrees of ability, and even extends that to non-verbal roles, which I can do as a scriptwriter. This is a process-led approach to drama education, which will emphasise the creative exploration and discovery that occurs between students and artists like myself, where the process of creating and performing is equally as important as the actual end result itself. Initially, I will discuss with the pre-videographers and Muntur what their expectations are for this project. And with an outline in place, I will then meet with the children, introduce myself, and tell them briefly what I do. I think it's important to build a rapport with the children, as this is vital for a successful collaboration. I will then listen to their ideas and inform them that communication is a two-way street, meaning that I'm always open to questions and suggestions. This project will evolve with the input from all parties involved. I will introduce the children to various aspects of effective stage presence. I personally have devised a series of exercises which will help the children to explore different scenarios and which will encourage them to experiment in different drama techniques. I will then help them to create an environment where the students will feel comfortable to take creative risks and explore different perspectives and encourage them to express themselves in their own unique way. At the end of our partnership, the students will present their work to an audience, whether it be a formal stage performance or even a class presentation. There will be a period of reflection which offers insight into the project and encourages feedback from the children on their overall experience. Over the last 3 years, I've had the opportunity through Kerry County Arts to work with Presentation Primary School Tralee, Castle Island Community College, Lara Campan National School, Ballyfinan National School, Gaelicloshtacharee, and the National Learning Network. I've been very fortunate. I've also worked in other schools around the country through the Arts Council Creative Schools, the Education Centre Creative Clusters Initiative, and Kerry ETB. And it's my vision that every child should be given the opportunity to perform on stage. I believe that the only way this is accessible to each and every child is through our education system. And I would love to see drama introduced as a curriculum subject in schools going forward.
Yeah, Mary, I'm with you 100% on that. I'm always saying it. Joe, do you remember I mentioned before I'd seen this documentary on RTE years ago about a school exchange between a school in Kells, County Meath, and it was Poland actually. And in Poland, I'm open to correction now, but I think it was Poland, mathematics and drama are given equal weighting. Can you imagine that in Ireland? I mean, it's just, it's so important in terms of, as you said, Mary, self-confidence, but also, you know, expression and the joy of creativity. It's just so important. And I must say, I do think a lot has happened the last few years with the BLAST program and the Teacher Artist Partnership, Creative Schools, Creative Clusters. For your listeners now that mightn't be familiar, these are all projects and programs, I should say, with the are driven through both the Department of Education and the Arts Council and Creative Ireland. And it's all about having creative people in schools so children can see what it's about. And, you know, Mary here, and I was involved with drama and creative writing, and there's just so much out there, Joe, and to bring it into the young people's lives, isn't it so important?
Yeah, and what's amazing, Mary, what struck out to me is where you said about, you know, you're trying to find scripts for people and that there isn't enough parts for everyone, kind of. And, like, that's what really stuck out to me, that it's so important that everyone gets an equal opportunity to participate, because it reminds me of, kind of, you know, football teams growing up when there was just the concentration was put on a few, make sure we win, and they miss the overall point of this. Why are we getting involved in this? Why are you getting involved in sport? Why are you getting involved in drama? It misses the whole point if people can't participate. So I'm delighted to hear you say that, and that you're so passionate about it, Mary, as well.
Well, I find that, through my experience now, I found that it's not always the most academic children or the most sporty children. You know, they're not to the forefront when it comes to drama. It's surprisingly the reverse. And, it's children, they come out of themselves when they're given the opportunity to go up on stage. And because I can, I write most, and usually I perform my own work, I get to know the children first, and I write specifically for each child. So, like, I have written for children with, Down syndrome, nonverbal, where English isn't their first language, for children with autism. So, it's broad, and it's hugely rewarding, Joe, to be honest with you.
Yeah. Well, Mary, thanks a million for coming on and telling us all about it, and best of luck. It sounds like such a rewarding project to be involved in.
Thank you, Joe.
Now we're going to take a break. Kate Kennelly's going to stay with us, and we'll find out what's going on around this county in the arts world after these.
The Saturday Supplement on Radio Kerry. Brought to you in association with Sean Lynch and John O'Rahilly, Hogan's Funeral Home, Tralee. The Saturday Supplement on Radio Kerry. Brought to you in association with Sean Lynch and John O'Rahilly, Hogan's Funeral Home, Tralee. You're listening to The Saturday Supplement with Joe McGill on Radio Kerry.
It is the second Saturday of the month. Kate Kennelly is still with us for our monthly Creative Kingdom, Kerry County Council Creative Kingdom. We were talking about poetry in Killarney, Kate, before the break, and I understand there's also something to do with poetry going on in Listowel as well. Tell us about this.
There is, and the same weekend, Joe, but I'm sure people will manage to take both in if they really want to.
You can never have enough poetry, Kate.
Not in Kerry, Joe, to be fair. It's oozing out of the county, isn't it? In the county and around the county. So on Friday, the 28th of April, there's going to be a lecture by Declan Keybird, the poet, as a thinker, and it's about Uncle Brendan's poetry, and that'll be a lovely lecture. And then on the 29th
Uncle
of April...
Uncle Brendan being Brendan Kennelly as well.
Oh, sorry. Apologies, yes. Did I say Uncle? I meant to say Brendan Kennelly. Apologies.
We don't all have the privilege of having the famous Brendan Kennelly as our uncle.
I know, that just slipped out, Joe. Apologies, yeah. We'll stand back and say Brendan Kennelly, the poet, indeed. So on Saturday the 29th, then, they're doing lovely events. There's a screening of... River of Words. It's a documentary on Brendan, and that'll be in the Kerry Writers Museum. And then there's going to be a lovely walk from there's going to be lovely readings from 3 to 5, again in the Writers Museum, by local writers, and it's all of Brendan's work. And then at 8 o'clock in St. John's, there's going to be a big celebratory event, because again it's around Brendan's birthday, and there's going to be music, poetry, song and storytelling. So it promises to be a fabulous weekend in Listowel. So if you're in the area and you'd be interested, come along over, I'd say.
Yeah. Excellent. So what else is going on, Kate?
So also staying in North Kerry, I suppose Listowel Writers Week, as you know, is coming up, and the festival programme is available on writersweek.ie. So I would advise people to be booking their workshops. It's always very busy. So have a look at writersweek.ie. The Handed Down series is on April 15th with Nicky McAuliffe and Con Moynihan, and that'll be over in the Sliabh Lucre Centre in Scarterton Glen, and it's starting at 8 o'clock, and it's called the Road to Glontan Bus Tour, and that's €10 are the tickets. That'll be lovely. The Kerry Short Film Bursary is still open for applications, and the guideline and forms are available on www.screenkerry.ie. And Joe, it's that time of year again. We're back to our residencies. So we have Mika back with us on the Filmmaker in Residence. And Mika started the residency, and she's been working with youth film groups primarily in Killarney and Kinmare. And lovely news, a member of the Killarney Youth Film Group won the Best Music Video at a nationally renowned First Cut Film Festival, and a member of the Kinmare group who also had their film screened there, which is a fantastic prestige to even get screened there. It's just fantastic. So yeah. The Killarney group had films screened at the Fresh International Film Festival. And again, when we started the Filmmaker in Residence programme, Joe, many years ago, when I say we, it was myself and Cork County and Limerick County, all the arts offices came together with the Filmmaker in Residence between the region, because Fresh Films approached us and said, you know, nationally we're not getting a lot of submissions from this area, and why is that, and how can we better support young people to make film? So that was really when the Filmmaker in Residence kicked off, and the demand in Kerry exceeded the demand in the other places at the time, so we went ahead with our own Filmmaker the following year, and we've been at it since. Cool. And as you know, we've had a lot of different filmmakers, and they've all brought their own, I suppose, style and flair to the role, and they're doing great work, and Mika is outstanding. Maura Holmes is back doing her creative writing residency, and she's working with a lot of groups online. She adjudicated the competitions for the Ballydunhill Bardic Festival. She will be doing some adjudication for Listowel Writers Week. She also helped launch a book by Enable Ireland. Now, Maura had worked with both the users and carers of the service, and the book is absolutely fantastic. And I just want to say sincere congratulations to all involved, both those who contributed and those who led the project. And it was launched in Tralee Library, and a thank you to them as well. The library are great for supporting the arts activities that are happening across the county. So well done to Maura and all at Enable Ireland and Tralee Library. And then our dancer in residence, Catherine Young, ran the second Kaylee Afro Dabka Ukraine, and that was funded by Healthy Ireland, and it took place at Mercy Mount Hawk Secondary School. And just to thank the school, they couldn't be more supportive, Joe, giving us the venue, providing students to do all that's needed in terms of ushering and helping out on the evening. Over 150 people attended on the night. Now, as well as that, there was weeks of workshops coming up to it where people could learn the different dances from the different cultures. And you know what was said back by so many sources, I have a lot of emails into me from it, people were saying this is real integration, you know, this is people coming together with a shared love of culture. So music and dance, and people there swinging around together and dancing and seeing each, there's a profiling and a pride in each other's culture, but there's also a chance to learn about each other. So it's real integration at its best, I think. So well done to Catherine and all her musicians, dancers, and again, thanks to the school, they've been outstanding, and the participants, because without them, it wouldn't be happening either. And one last thing then, we were involved with our Leo office, which is the local enterprise office in Kerry, and they're so supportive of the Creative Ireland programme, and they organised a creative practitioners mentoring sessions. So we had 18 people, Joe, across Kerry who would be involved in creative industries. So these might be craft people, designers, and when I say craft, it's across so many different areas in craft. So 18 people across Kerry, and they had one-to-one hour-long mentoring sessions with Maeve Ring, who's outstanding, and that was thanks to the Leo office here in Kerry. And again, the team there are just fantastic and always so supportive. And we have Cruinne an Óg coming up on June the 10th, and the programme has to be put together, Joe, by the end of this month. So we've had loads of people contacting us, and we're currently putting a bit of shape to that. And when I say we now, Hannah is doing a lot of the work on that, and the office inside, Morel and Caroline. And we've a new addition, Clive, to the office. And so we're all working away on that. And it's busy, but do you know something? Never boring, Joe.
Yeah, I know when you say we didn't, the royal we you're talking about, we always thought that you've a fierce, hardworking team. We're almost out of time, but if people want more information on all the things you do, and I'm subscribed to your newsletter, I have to say it's absolutely fantastic. It's brilliant. You get it all there in an email. It's brilliant.
You do, Joe, and thank you. And it was Caroline Lynch who started that newsletter, so hats off to Caroline as well. And if people want to receive the newsletter, just email us to arts, so it's arts@kerrycoco.ie, and all the information is on our social media, so the handle is @kerrycoarts, or it's all up on our website, so it's www.arts.kerrycoco.ie, and it's all there. But sure, Joe, this is nearly the best way, isn't it?
Exactly it, and you can hear all about it here the second Saturday of every month, Kerry County Council Creative Kingdom with Kate Kennelly. Kate, we're out of time. Thanks a million for coming on, and I look forward to speaking to you next month. I can't believe we're talking about Cruinne an Óg already. That really shows to me it's halfway through the year, so I don't know, it's frightening me the way the year is going already. But thanks, Kate, as always.
It is. Thanks, Joe. Lovely to be talking to you.
Francis Jones is on the way, so keep it here on Radio Kerry. My thanks to Abigail Bernard, who was on sound. I'll be back again next Saturday with the Saturday Supplement, and we're speaking about poetry all morning. We'll be speaking about poetry then as well with Bernadette Nerida for our Speaking of Poetry slot. Until then, look after yourself and take care.